This session is called Why We Lie to Ourselves. Lies are part of our lives from a very young age. Even young children can lie with surprising ingenuity, although the reasons for their untruths are often almost cute. Who can't recall their childhood or a situation where a child with chocolate covered all over his face stubbornly claimed, "I didn't have any chocolate"? Although this kind of lie is rather innocent, very few of us would move away from these childhood lies altogether. Adults lie too, but the question is why and how often. And let's face it at the outset, most of us lie a lot more than we like to admit to ourselves. We often resort to lying consciously. We know what we're saying, perhaps even sometimes strategizing in our heads. What to say, what not to say, how to color our story to make it sound more interesting, or how to hide something that could cause embarrassment. For example, when the boss asks, "Have you finished the presentation yet?" and you answer, "Yes, almost done," even though you may not have even started yet because you took a Facebook break instead. We know the drill, right? But what does that actually mean? You think to yourself, it's not a big lie. You're telling the truth, just a little twisted. And then there is the category of lies that come unconsciously. This is an interesting phenomenon. We may not be immediately aware of these lies because we feel it's important to communicate a distorted version of reality without necessarily consciously lying. It usually happens in moments when our brains automatically exaggerate or cover up parts of the story to make it make more sense, be more acceptable, or simply look better. A little distortion of the truth here and there gives us a false sense of security. But the problem arises when a small, subtle distortion becomes a proper fairy tale. What about the hidden truth? You know, we didn't say anything wrong, we didn't tell any lies, but we deliberately didn't tell the whole truth either. Let's say your partner asks, "Who did you meet at the business dinner?" And you answer, "My colleagues were there." You didn't say your ex-lover was there, did you? But you weren't lying either, didn't you? Withholding a part of the truth that could change the context is still a form of lying in terms of human psychology. The plain truth is like a puzzle. If one piece is missing, or if you deliberately hide it, the picture is no longer complete. Why are we lying? When we know that nobody likes it, not even ourselves? The truth is that lying has its roots deep in our evolutionary history. Even our cave-dwelling ancestors sometimes covered their tracks to protect themselves or their families. Lying may have evolutionarily helped us survive and facilitated our social interactions. But in the modern world, lies usually do far more harm than good. In fact, we are so interconnected with relationships and trust that trust becomes the foundation of many of our most important relationships. I guess all of this is understandable, but you know what I don't get? Why are we lying to ourselves? Why the hell are we doing this? Self-deception is such a handy toy that our brains have invented to protect us from pain, embarrassment, or uncomfortable truths. And it has to be admitted, it sometimes succeeds with masterful precision. But why do we tend to lie to ourselves? Where does this psychological mechanism come from, and what inevitable traps await us in its shadow? Let's untangle it from the ground up. We can think of self-deception as a kind of invisible curtain that we hang in front of our eyes so that we don't have to see something that scares, hurts, or disturbs us. It is an unconscious process, which means that when we are under its influence, we are usually unaware that we are fooling ourselves. It's like tapping our brain on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, this is going to sound stupid, but just pretend this problem doesn't exist right now. What do you say?" And the brain, our faithful species, nods and runs the illusion at full speed. A classic example of self-deception is when we try to convince ourselves that we are in a perfect relationship. We only see the pink zone of our interactions and ignore all the red warning lights with arguments like, "These are just little things. Every relationship has its flaws." Yes, every relationship has ills, but if your partner is already yelling at you through the wall in the third person, tell her I'm tired of it. It might be worth thinking about. Self-deception is such a defense mechanism of ours, designed to solve, or rather not solve, the unpleasantness for us. Another example is the belief in our own success, where we believe we are perfectly anchored in life, even though inside we may feel like a castaway on a floating log. We say to ourselves, "Look, you have a job, you have an apartment. What more could you want?" While we feel a strange sense of emptiness that we refuse to examine in detail, why is that? It would be uncomfortable to admit that maybe we are not as happy and fulfilled as we would like. But now, let's look at it from the other side. What is the price for this continued self-delusion? Well, it's not winning the lottery. Sooner or later, we reach a point where this illusion stops working. And it's a bit like when your projector goes off in the middle of a movie. Suddenly, instead of the beautiful spectacle of an idyllic life, there's the naked truth, which could be summed up in two words: obscured reality. We lose our energy, our desire to make a difference, and we often reproach ourselves for letting something like this go so far. The confidence we have laboriously built on a shaky foundation of illusion begins to crumble like a house of cards. And now comes the best part. Self-deception, of course, not only manifests itself within ourselves, but also tends to affect our relationships with other people. When we get caught up in our own illusions, those around us often don't have a chance to see us for who we really are. It's as if we wear a carnival mask every time we talk to friends or loved ones, and while it looks great, underneath it we remain isolated, misunderstood, and usually deeply lonely. Self-deception may seem like a comfortable solution at first look, but its long-term consequences can be devastating. So what to do about it? How to get out of it? The first step is a willingness to face the truth squarely. Yes, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but believe me, it's worth it. Admit to yourself that maybe your relationship isn't quite as harmonious as you'd like it to be, or that you want something more in your career than just surviving from work day to work day. All of these steps are the foundation for really moving forward. Stop lying, you think. It's a small thing. I'll just tell myself that from tomorrow on, I will be completely authentic in my communication with the outside world, as pure as a mountain stream. But then it comes to the moment of truth, and you realize that it is not so easy to put an end to lying. Why is that? Because it's not the first step. In fact, it's step number two. And those who skip the basics are like building a skyscraper on shaky legs. The first and absolutely essential step is to learn not to lie to yourself. Yes, to yourself. It may sound trivial, you may be thinking, why should I lie to myself when no one else is even looking? But believe me, we are masters at this. We are able to fool ourselves so precisely that we deserve an Oscar for it. We hide our own weaknesses, sugarcoat reality, and paint air castles that don't match what's on the table, even with the best of wills. Let's face it, who among us has never said to ourselves, "I can handle that later. I'm in control of other things right now," while a still small voice inside us screamed, "You're completely wrong. You have absolutely no idea what you're doing." Stop lying to yourself is harder than it looks. It's about looking at yourself in the mirror and not flinching. Imagine the moment. You're standing in front of yourself, seeing all your mistakes, weaknesses, transgressions. You see the dreams you once had, but then you wrapped them in a tinfoil hat of excuses and stored them deep in a drawer of lost hopes. Now the hard part. Instead of quickly slamming the drawer shut, you do the hardest thing in the world. You accept this truth about yourself as fact. Because yes, we don't have to embellish anything in front of ourselves. We don't have to put cool stickers on mediocre results and whisper motivational nonsense in our ears that doesn't sound the least bit believable. Admitting the truth is the challenge. And why is that so hard? Well, because we know the truth about ourselves. Sure, you may think you don't, that you're missing something, but deep down, in the dark depths of our nightly musings, we have a feeling. We know what's bothering us, what we're missing, where the boot is pressing, and even when we try to bury it under apparent comfort, those thoughts won't go away. like the annoying neighbor who keeps banging on the door asking, "So what are you going to do about it?" But to admit the truth is to take off all the masks. And let's face it, those masks are pretty damn comfortable. Accepting ourselves as we are sounds noble, but it's like looking at a movie without effects or a photo without a filter. Suddenly you have a clear image in front of you where you can see even the subtle cracks, flaws, and untidiness. But you know what? It's okay. Because this is you, the original, a unique copyright on you. Think of it like riding a wild river. As long as we don't lie to ourselves and try to push the water back uphill forever, we can finally let go and go with the natural flow where it makes sense. For by accepting the truth about ourselves, a tremendous opportunity for growth is unlocked. We can't improve if we don't know where to start. We cannot plan for a better future if we are stuck in illusions about the present. When you accept yourself as you are, with all the flaws, details, and uncomfortable truths, you suddenly find that it gives you freedom. No more excuses, no more pretense. It's like downloading a life navigation app that finally shows you not the fiction, but the real destination. You no longer have to be a prisoner of your own illusions, but you become the constructor of your own life direction. So yes, it's hard to stop lying, but to stop lying to yourself? That's a masterful art, a complete Zen awakening. Once you've mastered that step, accepting the truth that's been inside you for a long time, you'll see how easy and liberating it is to play fair with others too. And you know what the best part is? When you start being honest with yourself, the truths about others stop hurting you. And that, my friends, is freedom. Let's dive into practical part. Quit lying to yourself is an exceptionally important step towards personal development and self-realization. The path to self-acceptance requires honesty, courage, and a willingness to face the truth. Here are specific steps and techniques that can help you in this transformation. Step 1. Stop and think. What lies are you telling yourself? Ask yourself what specific lies you regularly tell yourself about yourself. What brings these thoughts to you? What feelings do your lies trigger? Become aware of the emotions that attach to these lies. Do you write them down in a journal or on paper? Step 2. Identification of triggers. When and why do you lie to yourself most often? Find out what situations or circumstances cause you to resort to lying. Is it stress, fear, a desire for acceptance, or something else? What thought patterns are holding you back? What specific thoughts prevent you from seeing reality as it is? Step 3. Acceptance of self. What are the real aspects of your identity? Think about what makes you you. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Accept them as part of yourself. How would you feel if you accepted the truth? How would you feel if you were honest with yourself? Relaxation, peace, or even anger. Step 4. Open communication with yourself. What questions can you ask yourself regularly? Make a list of questions to ask yourself whenever you feel like lying to yourself. For example, is what I'm telling myself really true? Or, what do I really want? What positive affirmations can you say to yourself in your mind? For example, I'm good enough just the way I am, or I have a right to my feelings and thoughts. Step 5. Keeping a diary. Record your thoughts and feelings. This process allows you to reflect and understand yourself better. Each day, write down what you think and how you feel. This will help you see patterns that repeat themselves. Step 6. Creating new habits. What positive habits will you establish? When you become aware of the lies you tell yourself, focus on what you can do instead. For example, instead of self-criticism, you can practice self-acceptance. What small steps will you take to move forward? Do it gradually. Incorporate a new activity into your daily routine that brings you joy or peace. Step 7. Finding support. Who can support you? Consider whether you have someone close to you with whom you can share your thoughts and feelings. Talking about yourself in an open space can give you a new perspective on the situation. Become aware of the lies you tell yourself. Identify the reasons why you do it, and create a concrete action plan for accepting the truth and improving your confidence. First topic, self-awareness. What are you currently lying to yourself or about yourself? What are the emotions behind these thoughts? Think about how you feel when you admit this lie to yourself. Is it anger, sadness, frustration? Why are you lying to yourself? Think about what this lie does for you. Do you want to protect yourself from disappointment? Second topic, exploring fears. What specific fears do you have when you think about change? What's the worst that can happen if you decide to face these fears? Think what happens when you admit the truth to yourself and to others. What's the best that can happen if you overcome these fears? Think about the positive results that change could bring you. Third topic, acceptance and positive habits. What new habits could you incorporate into your life? What's the first small step you take to start these new habits? Let's talk about plan of action. What specific steps will you set for the week ahead? Plan what you will do each day. For example, on Thursday, I'm going to talk to a friend about my feelings. How will you track your progress? What kind of notes will you keep? Who can give you support? Find someone you can reach out to in times of difficulty. And one last thing, reflection and evaluation. How do you feel after a week of sticking to your new habits? Take some time to evaluate. How is your mindset changing? What achievements do you want to celebrate, and how will you do it? And one last question. Why do you want to stop lying to yourself?